Okay. Shabbat Tov. We're starting the piece of L'Kai Neshama, Shenasato Bi Tohirahi. Right? The Neshama that you put in me is pure. Al Yidei Amirazu, through this saying, Anu Megalim Et Gedulata Shel Nishmatenu Bikirbeinu, we reveal the greatness of our Shama inside of us. Val yidei hitamkut bigdulat taharata, and by thinking deeply into the greatness of the Neshama's purity, val yidei hakara shi netuna betochenu, and through the recognition that the Neshama is inside of us, אנו מתחילים להרגיש מציאותה. We begin to feel its mitzius. We begin to feel its existence. ועל ידי זה אנו מפנים לדרכים, and through that we clear away pathways for the neshama, שתקשיב כל מה שהיא צריכה להקשיב, that the neshama will be able to hear everything that she needs to hear. Okay. And that's the end of this piece, very small piece, which let's just speak a little bit about. First of all, the idea of making this statement is to actually be megala, is to reveal the greatness of the neshama that's inside of us, and the importance of making this revelation, bringing it out into the open, is because the more we think about and the more we develop an awareness of the neshama that is inside of us, the more we begin to tap into it, into its metzias, that we actually feel its metzias. A person can walk around, as we know, there are many people in the world that walk around without ever realizing that they have a neshama, or quite frankly, denying it, right? That they have, that there's any soul to a person. And then there's always, of course, that's a very subjective question, is do you feel your soul? Do you feel your neshama? So you'll have the very spiritual people that may say yes, and then you'll have the more rationalistic, you know, type people that will be like, well, you can't feel the neshama. And if that's the case, if you can't feel the neshama, then it's just a mere belief, right? It's a mere belief, and you can either go with it or not. But Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying that no, there's an opportunity for us to actually feel the metzius of the neshama. A person can become sensitive to the neshama, and by becoming sensitive to the neshama, you become in tune with the neshama, which means that your neshama can actually, you know, hear things, and then you can hear the messages that that neshama is hearing. Okay, shetakshiv kol ma she'i tzricha lakshiv, which means, I'm going to preface with a different, it could be I've mentioned this in the past, actually I meant to bring the book with me and to read it to you, but I forgot. There's a book, if I'm not mistaken, it's called The Visionary Window. I think that's what it's called. By a professor, Amit Goswami. Okay, and he was reared in India, in the, I think, in Hindu religion, if I'm not mistaken, and eventually became an academic, and he's a physicist, you know, lectures, I think he might live in America now, he certainly lectures in American universities, I can't remember the, you know, his bio. In any case, in his book, he makes some connections, as there are many books like this, of, you know, bringing together some of the Far Eastern religions with the new physics, because there's a lot of overlap, a lot of similar ideas, etc. In any case, in one of the parts of the book, he says the following. I think I've mentioned this in this group in the past, I just don't remember. He mentions that, he says that in India, it is not uncommon for a child to report past life experiences. Okay, and it's this is his claim. I mean, I can't argue with it. I can't verify it either. But he claims that there are scientifically documented, verified cases of this, and it's not uncommon at all, where they verify, you know, the child gives an accurate account of a past life experience, often in a place that he had no access to, couldn't have been, you know, like somebody, child in India reporting what went on, that they used to live in England, and etc. Sometimes the address describing the house, how like things that there was no possible way that this little child would know. So he makes a very good question, which is actually, he makes a question like, why do all these stories take place in the Far East and Western society? These things don't seem to occur. You actually have similar discussions sometimes with Sephardi Ashkenazi. Like, why did the Sephardim have all these interesting stories and Ashkenazim, you know, don't have these stories? You know, it's a very similar discussion. In any case, but Lahavdil Elif Alfi Abdallahs, you know, Chassidim certainly have a lot of stories also, you know. But any case, so he responds that a child born in Western society learns at an extremely early age that if you start saying weird things, right, you start talking about weird stuff, like, you know, like, oh, I used to live and so, or like, they learn very quick that just be quiet, because you're crazy if you're like thinking these things. You're, you know, these are fantasies, you're nuts, and they end up what's the word for it, when you
repressing
they end up repressing these ideas. In other words, these, if they actually start to dream or think or have like these, you know, past life experiences coming to them, they very quickly learn to repress them at an extremely young age, and therefore they lose access to them, and there's no accounts of it to be verified. Okay, this is what he writes. Again, I can't say yes, no. This is his idea. In any case, I will use this idea for what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying, which is a true idea, is that when it comes to Ruchnius, you have to be open to sense it. You have to be open to tap into it. If you are closed off to it, right? If you, like, you know, automatically knock it as being something unreal, then you actually repress your spirituality and lose access to it. And the truth of the matter is that, I hate to say this, and it's not, I believe that there's been a lot of repression of the spiritual side of Bnei Torah by the yeshiva system, in yeshivas. You know, and it comes from a good spot. In other words, let's see, you know, it's very easy to become spiritually excited, but that doesn't necessarily have a lasting effect. So you're taught, plus, sometimes it could be also unreal, incorrect. Actually, I just read by the Shabbos table, we were reading about the mice of Gidon. When he received Nevuah, and first, you know, Ruach HaKodesh, first the Malach spoke to him, then Hashem himself spoke to him, and he's very suspicious, and he says, you know, like, how do I know this is true? And he says to Hashem, please give me a sign, you know, that I should know this is really a Nevuah, not some kind of, you know, just like, you know, some kind of delusionary kind of a thing that he thinks God's speaking to him. So you see, actually, that the Nevi'im and then Rabbi Avraham ben Aramim also speaks about this, that you have to, you know, Rebbe, to know how to check yourself and check and balance, right? That you're really having true experiences and not, you know, false experiences. So that is a real suspicion, a real chashash. Again, I'm talking very high levels of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, but even Stam, you know, like, I feel like I have to do this. you know, this feeling pushes me to do something and be Isaac in a certain thing, and maybe that feeling is just Bubamaisis. Maybe it's his gaiva that's trying to like make him feel like he's bigger than he is. So we're taught in yeshivas to kind of suppress that idea, and everything has to be very well thought out, very well grounded, etc. Now the well grounded is good. There has to be a balance to it. If the well grounding is going to prevent and is going to make a latsanus of the spiritual side, which is unfortunately often done, but that's a terrible thing. You know, no, that's. I remember I had a my brother had spoken to one of his rebbeim. He hadn't seen one of his rebbeim in a few years, and the rebbe is a very, you know, big bal musar and a very big you know, everything has to go in order, has to be, you know, very well balanced, well thought out, well. And he mentioned to him that in this yeshiva where he was at that time learning, that they do like, I think once a Shabbos is, they do a kumzitz, and people get really into it, and they get like, you know, the biggest iris and the singing together and everything. And the Rebbe's reaction was, that's nonsense, that's narishkeit. It's narishkeit, it's nothing. Obviously, Chassidisha wouldn't have given that reaction, right? And Chassidim are very, you know, it's very well accepted that, you know, the singing together in a group actually has a real koach ruchani, a real spiritual power to it, and can be uplifting. Obviously, that's not what builds the person, but it's part and parcel of the. It can act as a help for the growth, right? It's iris, okay. Now you have to put it into something. You know, the Ran, famous Ramban in Shir Hashirim says, when you have this iris im toiru, right? Matzalashin, toiru, it's ava ad shetechbatz. Right? Your ma'ur, the ava, the ava becomes stirred in a person. He feels like an uplifting experience. Then you have to put it into a chefetz, ad shetechbatz, to put it into a chefetz, put it in an object, meaning take upon yourself something that you're going to do now, something solid, something real, because if you don't, then it's just an uplifting experience that goes nowhere. You don't take anything with you afterwards. It's gone. It goes chishvan ufa. It's a fleeting moment in time and finish. But if you put it into a chayfet, you take upon yourself a kabbalah, you take upon yourself the mischazik in a certain mitzvah, in a certain midah, whatever it is, so then there's something to it. So after the kumzitz, the person has to have, oh, I want to go sit down and learn now. Okay, that now is something. Or I'm going to, you have to do something with it, right? In order for it to be real growth, or at least, you know, it could be, I don't know, we'll take a pie, whatever it is. I don't want to get into the details of that. That's already like how to use a kumzitz experience, and when it can be used, how it can be used. But the idea, I'm just giving the idea in general. The idea in general is that we always need, I always say this, we need the Sula Mutzav Arzav Roshim Egeashimaima, that you need to have your feet planted on the ground, which is the halacha, which is musar, which is all the footwork, right? Mutzavarta sula mutzav, the footwork, the ground on the feet on the ground. But your head, yes, should reach to the heavens. Don't deny the top of that ladder. Don't deny the fact that the yid's head is in shemayim, and therefore you have access to shemayim. You have access to true spirituality. So that's
Can I just clarify one point, please?
Yes.
So am I understanding that feelings of spirituality are synonymous with feelings of the neshama? Because many goyim also go through spiritual experiences.
That's a very good question. You know, today the word spirituality is used by non-believers as well, as just referring to like non-physical. You know, it could be emotional, psychological, etc. And the answer to your question, in my opinion, is that yes, goyim can certainly have spiritual experiences in the sense of ruchnius, in the sense of, you know, like tap into something above nature, if you want to say it like that. But being that they don't have that tzelem elokim at the same level that we have, their tzelem elokim is like a much smaller level. It's more like the ikur tzelem elokim in many svarim, it says, is really just by the Jewish person. So what they have is just like, you know, is like an image of that tzelem elokim, if you want to call it like that. So that, you know, it'll be on the level of nefesh as opposed to ruach neshama level. It'll be something much, much smaller, and therefore less powerful, perhaps less accurate, if you want to say like that. They won't have access to the same, same levels that we have access to, obviously. But I don't deny that there is such a thing as true spiritual experiences by Goyim as well. Yeah. Okay, so Rabbi Yaakov Meir now is saying that if you open yourself up to this, then you are going to be able to start hearing. Now, again, hearing is something like accurate feelings, I would say. You know, hearing voices. You know, you have more accurate feelings that you can be, you know, rely on more. Now, again, you have to check this. You have to always be balanced. You always have to keep the halacha. The Goyin continuously pushes that message in Mishlei that, you know, our spirit, our ruach, is remia, ruach remia, that the Lashon, the Pasuk of Mishlei, you can never trust it. But you can help. You can get helped along. You have to put your trust into the halacha and into the, you know, to the revealed way of doing things, what the Torah tells us, the mitzvahs the Torah tells us. But you can use the hisoiris, you can use the messages of the neshama that you can tap into as a means of helping you along the process in a grounded way. So this is a very delicate, it can be a very delicate balance. But it's very important to keep that channel open of ruchnias. If you close off the channel of ruchnias, yitaka don't get it. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe similarly says, by the way, since we're here in Eretz Yisrael, he says that in Chelek Vav, Chelek Vav is called Mayaneh Yeshua. That's where he talks about Klal Yisrael, he talks about Eretz Yisrael, he talks about the Gula. That whole volume is on those in Yadim. And there he makes a comment that if you believe in the Mitzius of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, then you'll be zeicha to the Avira Deretz Yisrael Machkim. If you believe in that, he says, if you believe the Avira Deretz Yisrael Machkim, that the air of Eretz Yisrael adds Chachma to a person, then you will actually benefit in that way, where you will have the additional Chachma through Eretz Yisrael, and you will feel the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But if you don't believe in it, then you're not. If you think, if you think that it's only something that was when the Beis HaMikdash was around, but today it's, what's the difference here? Chutzar, it's no difference. If you, then Taki, you're not going to feel anything. But if you realize, right, that Eretz Yisrael is, the Avir Eretz Yisrael is something real and alive today, and it's Machim today, then you're going to, you'll be able to tap into that. You'll be able to feel the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, next piece. Pinchas ben Yair. Yeah? Pinchas ben Yair. I think a printing error here. I think zihirut should be before zrizut. You know, that's the order that appears in the Brice over there, in Avodah Zarah and Mesos Hasharim, as we know. So I think it's a typo, but in any case, Reb Pinchas ben Yair set the order of milos that a person needs to acquire. Zihirus, let's say zrizus, nikius, prishus, tara, chasidus, anava, yerzchet, kedusha. Right, the carefulness and alacrity, I think that's the proper word for Zerizus, if I'm not mistaken. Nikius, being clean, meaning clean in Midas, in Hakpad on Chesha Mishpat, and these in Yanim. Precious, separating from a certain amount of separation from excessive or, you know, things of parts of Olam Haza, Gashmi, is things that you don't really need, right? Let's see what else. Chasidus, taurity, chasidus, piety, anava, humility, yereshet, fear of sin, kedusha, and holiness. So that's the different milus or Pinchas ben Yair lists. Ulam kol amadregus she'atara v'tara bechlal gemura sein ben hashama. It says all these levels, till Tara, okay, meaning not including Chasidus and Avir Eschad Kedusha, but all the levels till Tara, including Tara, okay, Tara Bechlal, including Tara, Gemura Sein Ben Neshama. They are completed in the Neshama, or they are complete in the Neshama. Ve'imu Yodea Lishomra B'Tara, and if the person knows how to guard it, the Neshama, in its purity, if you know how to guard the purity of your neshama, guard your neshama that it should remain pure. Lo yekach l'shum itkomut l'tkomem negda. There will be no power to any kind of entity or yetzahara or sitrach, whatever it is, that's going to be able to rise up against it. V'chala ma'alot halalu, and then all these levels, yunavot menoch kekinoa menagen me'elav, all these levels will flow out of the neshama very, very naturally, like a harp that's playing a tune on its own. Because this is what the neshama is. The neshama naturally is careful, naturally is zoriz, naturally is naki, naturally is parush from Olam Hazeh and Yonim, naturally is pure Torah. Bli shum le'ut yigia v'amal. So these, if theoretically speaking, a person knew how to be shomer his neshama b'tara, then these milos would just flow naturally out of the person and express themselves in the person without any difficulty, without any toil and effort. You wouldn't have to work hard at these things. You know, now they take a lot of work for us, but they don't. They essentially wouldn't have to, as far as the neshama is concerned. Ki kol elu amidot hagdolot hen hamahut amitit shel neshama, because all these tremendous midos, character traits, are the true essence of the neshama. Umemela gam amidot shachre atara, and then consequently, the midos after tara, meaning chasidus, anava, yirischet, and kedusha, those midos also yizgadluba will become raised, will become great. V'yatzitzu, v'yifrichu kakashoshana, they will blossom and like a rose. Lahal isrech nichoach, to bring a beautiful scent. Ad shefa hakedusha, till the flow of kedusha, the last of the list over there, kedusha before shenavua of ruach hakodesh. That's follow right kedusha, and then it says over there in the brayso ruach hakodesh. So it would be mal ruach nichoach ad shefa kedusha shenavua ruach hakodesh bepilush merubo. Then every, you know, we get that tremendous level of nevuah and ruach hakodesh in an open way, in an easy way. So again, what he's saying, you know, okay, a grace of chiddush, todah rabah, we have a body, what are we going to do? No, but it's important to know that this is the essence of your neshama. And the guf, we know, is not our essence. The guf is an encasement. It's the kli, it's the vessel which our neshama is mislabish inside of. But what defines the essence of the person is his neshama. So it's, even though we can't do this right now, because we're in the mud, right? We're in the mud. We're in that physical afar, okay? And there's a chatzitza, and it takes a lot of work. But it's important to know that as far as our neshama is concerned, elikai neshama shenasata b'tohirahi, all these milos that are listed in the Gemara over here, in the Braisa, they are all our natural qualities. And it's very difficult, right? When a person is working to uncover what's there already, that's very different than when a person is working to acquire something that is not his. To uncover something that is there already, you know, you feel, okay, I can do that. That's easier. But something that's not naturally part of you, it's already a very difficult avodah. I think that's the importance of what he's pointing out to us over here. That I need to have that awareness of what my neshama really is, who I am really, and that will help us, you know, usher in these madrigas. It will help us be kind of these milas.
It's interesting to draw the line.
Huh?
It's interesting to draw the line at Tahara.
Yeah. Oh, why Dafka up till Tahara is...
So somehow, whatever quality of neshama is referring to, which I'm not able to define in my own head, that the person has access to, that we're referring to over here, somehow letting that speak or hear will propel a person naturally towards Tahara. But beyond that, they need to pull from higher resources.
He doesn't actually say that. He says like they're going to grow. They'll grow in it. He doesn't say like it's going to be difficult for you to do either.
Right.
But
need to pull on.
But he is making right. He you're pointing out a very good thing. He puts like a separation here between all the milos till Tahara, And then the milos after, till tahara, are all part of the essence of the neshama, and afterwards they're not. Why not? So I think that the reason for that is that the milos that come, and this is relevant to the next piece in Rav Yaakov Moshe over here, the what's relevant to all the milos of Yerav, Zriza, Zirz, Nikias, Precious, Tahara, are related and embedded in the neshama, whereas Chasidus, Anava, Yerushet, and Kedusha all are going to have to integrate. They're all going to have to, as part of the Iker play of these milos, are going to involve the guf. Are going to involve the guf. In other words, Chasidus, right? I'm not sure how Chasidus is going to work in that sense, but certainly Anava, and Yerushet, and Kedusha, they all are stemming primarily from the guf aspect. Chassidus would have to like analyze that. Let's see. I'll open the Mesillas Yesharim here. I think also even Chassidus, because the Mesillas Yesharim also, when he speaks about Chassidus, puts in Kedusha somewhat like on some level. So therefore, would also have to involve the have to right here. You have Bein Adam L'Chaveira in the Chalkei Chassidus. That of course automatically involves the body. Okay. Yeah, what's that?
I'm not understanding. The Hemshech involves the body. To say that the Zahiris and Zerizas and the Kiyos Precious doesn't involve the body.
No, so those don't involve the body in an essential way. In other words, Zahiris is carefully keeping away from Avera. Well, that's very natural for the Neshama to keep away from the Avera. Okay, same thing with Precious, Nikias, all those things are, as Rizus is doing a mitzvah. So that's, all these things are naturally part of the neshama. But the next steps of Chassidus and Avodah are the modes of integrating the body into our Avodah Hashem. And that's going to then be another level. I think that's why he's making the separation. Chassidus is going to be Ben Adam L'Chaveira, you know, when he speaks about it, he says that it's Mischalik Baguf Bamomen Uvanefesh, the Mesillas Yesharim in Chassidus. It's not in the same way, because you're over there, you're separating from it. You're not involving the body. Right, but it's not particularly in the body aspect of it. Your neshama wants to do the tzivah of Hashem. But Chassidus and Kedusha, all these things are already involving. Okay, Anova is another thing. Anova is overcoming the body, because the body brings gaiva into a person. So you have to overcome that in order to be another. The Maisa, the neshama itself, what's a chayich b'chlal Anova? You wouldn't have this musik b'chlal of Anova. Kedusha, Yerushet is a good question. Yerushet is Yerushet, I would have to think about. But Kedusha, certainly, the way that the Mesillas Yesharim describes Kedusha, and the way that we'll speak about, is that it involves the Maisim Gashmi in becoming holy. That the eating, drinking, the mice, the physical actions of a person actually become elevated and holy. So it's part and parcel, the goof is part and parcel of that madrega. Okay, let's see what we can get from the next piece. If we can, I don't know if we'll have time to finish it. Let's see. Kivan shiyotze adam la'avira oilam eshbin eisei heveyedea shakadosh baruch hu tar u'meshar sov tahirim u'neshama shebechot tahiri yimata meshamra petara mutav. You should know, right, this is the Gemara Nida, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that they make a shvua to the neshama before it goes down to this world, saying that you should know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is pure. And those who serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, his servants, are pure. And the neshama within you is pure. If you are going to guard it in its purity, great. And if not, so he says over here, it's a very interesting point. He points out over here, Mazkirin Rak. Wait a second. Mazkirin like Rak. Bechinat Tara, velo bechinat Kedusha. In this Shvur that they make for him, they only point out Tara, they only point out purity. They don't say anything about Kedusha, about holiness. Why not? Kedushim Tiyu. Right? The Pasuk says that you are holy because I, right? Hashem, your God, am holy. So why is that not mentioned? Say, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tor and he's holy, or he's holy and he's Tor. No mention of Kedusha, but the Pasuk says the same idea, that you should be holy because I am holy. So why are you saying to the Neshama before it comes down into this world, you are pure, Hashem is pure, so you be pure. Why are we focusing only on Tara? So he explains like this, Ki yisoid ha'avchana sheben ha'tara le'kedusha hu. The essential difference between, distinction between purity and holiness, between Tara and Kedusha is as follows. The Tara michlal dikatuma. Purity implies that there is impurity. Ukedusha hi kishemishtachrim legami me'atuma. Whereas the essence of Kedusha, of holiness, is where the person becomes completely free from impurity. Meaning, he's mufka from impurity. He has no shaykhis to impurity. There's no opposite in that sense. There's no opposite to Kedusha. Kedusha is in its own right. You know, if you want to say like, echad v'loy sheni, one and no other. There is no other to Kedusha in that sense. Tara has the implication of the opposite. You've been purified from. But Kedusha doesn't have that implication. Kedusha is when you're completely out of the, you know, shaychas to tumah anymore. You're not just distanced from the tumah, from the impurity. You eradicate it completely from the world. As long as the neshama is outside of the body, which that body, of course, is carved out of material and physicality. So there's tuma that's relevant to the guf, to the body, but the neshama alone is in its purity. Vaz masigim, because the neshama is not in the body. Vaz masigim gametz mitzius yishbor shmei rak b'chinas tar. So then you understand also the mitzius of Hashem only in the b'china of tar. But after the neshama goes inside of the body and joins the body to the point that the body also becomes elevated to the bechina of neshama, as if shal, because right, that's like we say in Ashiyotza, you know, there's the pele, there's the kaisha, the davar ruchni with davar gashmi. There's this union between the neshama and the guf, so that the guf actually goes through an elevation now, especially if you're going to now do Torah mitzvah all your life. So that's right. That's the whole purpose, is to bring the guf up to the bechinam neshama. So as if shal asigat bechinat hakdusha kedushim tiu ki kadosh ani Hashem, then it's possible to attain that bechinav kedusha of kedushim tiu ki kadosh ani Hashem. Where you're like, again, the Kedusha here again is involving the body in the sense of you're coming from the body experience, your body is involved, and now you completely become mishtachrer from the confines of that body, meaning from the impurities, from the uncleanliness that is usually attached to the body. And in the future, the time when the Pasuk is going to be, right, the mimikuyim, that I will get rid of, I will eradicate the spirit of tumah from the land. V'niskav Hashem levada b'yemahu, and Hashem will be exalted, him alone, on that day. Us tisgala b'chinas hakedusha b'milua. So then the b'chin of kedusha will become revealed in its entirety. So basically, what he's saying is that before the neshama, there's a difference between before the neshama comes down into the body, when it's up there, what the Gemara Nida is talking about, or when the neshama is already in the body, when Hashem says to us, "Kadeshim tiyu ki kadeshim Hashem alekechem," because before there's a union between the neshama and the guf, then they're two opposites. So we tell the neshama, "Listen, you be yourself and don't become like that body. Don't become like that body. Right? You stay tar." Don't become tamei like your counterpart. But once they actually join together, and through that joining together, the guf now has an aliyah, it becomes elevated. So now the guf is also able to become mishtachrer from, it's able to become freed up of the natural ikuvim of the neshama, the natural chesroinus of the guf, I'm sorry, of the guf. Right? The guf normally is shayach to tuma. It's normally bound in such a way where it's going to have tuma tied to it. But the neshama, that's why when you have only a guf without the neshama, that's misa, there's tumas, that's the tuma of misa. Right? The tuma of via vaisa tuma. It's because you have only body and no neshama. But when the body is in there, the body has, the neshama is in the body has become elevated, and it's not automatic tumah. It can still have tumah, but the kedusha, it brings you completely out of the matzav of tumah. So that's the, it's only going to happen b'achras hayamim, at the end of the days, where we're going to get to that level of mamish, the body and soul go together and they become basically virtually neshama alone, right, where they'll be completely freed from all tumah. That's the high level of kedusha that will be lasid lavai. But until the body has, until the neshama is inside of the body, there's no shaykhas, there's no point in talking about kedusha. There's no, now the big question would be though, how does Hashem have the, this is my, I'm not going to answer this right now, but how do Hashem say, ki kadosh ani Hashem, I am kadosh. So if it's defined by, like, what would be different before the neshama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never came down into a body, kiveyachol. So, if you could only have kedusha after the neshama has gone into the body, and now you can start to talk about kedusha, so what's the tliya? How does the pasuk be tliyed on that? Like Hashem is kadosh, you also be kadosh. Where does the term kadosh come into Hashem kiveyachol? This is my kasha on this or on this piece. Now, before we're finishing up here, I just want to point out one thing that's very important, and it's a ha'ara that I put in the Mo'ad Yisrael on page 169, and that is there are two types of kedusha. It's very important to know, and something that bothered me for a long time, you know. We find different orders. Unevarecha ale b'kedusha uvatara. We should bless you with kedusha and tara. Then you have, like in the tefillah of Ribbono Shel Olam, the opposite order. Ve'etaher ve'eskadesh. I'm going to become pure and I'll become holy. Uletareinu ulekadeshenu. So there again, you have tara and then kedusha. Sometimes find kedusha before. Sometimes find the order the opposite. Which one is first, tara or kedusha? It always confused me, and I realized at some point that there's two separate types of kedusha. There's the kedusha that's before the tara. That's the kedusha of Rashi, which is Prushim in Arayis and Pashas Kedoshim, or like the Ramban says over there, that you're separated from motarot, from excessive indulgence in Olam Haz, from Divrei Vishus, right? So that's a lower level of kedusha, separation. You're separated from inappropriate things or inappropriate involvement in Olam Hazeh. But that comes before Tara. Tara is the purity. After that's a much higher level. But after that, there's another level of Kedusha, which is the level of Kedusha that the Mesis Yisharim speaks about, where the body itself becomes Kadosh, where the Maisim Gashmi of the person, the physical activities of the person, like eating and drinking, and this is a high level, which is only given to a person by God. After his work to get there, it has to be a Matana. That's what the Mesis Yisharim says. Mine and yours eating is not that kedusha, that them, right? That is a godly given gift after a person has done such rigorous avaida. That is after tara, and that's the level of kedusha that he's talking about over here, that Rabbi Akivish is talking about, the higher level of kedusha. Okay, so we have a little bit of a tzarchian that maybe somebody can think of an answer, or we can think of an answer by next time, as Hashem. Okay.